7-2-B-A. We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting MerrittAssembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday, Brevard County. Thank you for being a part of this wonderful county that we live in. Thank you for listening to 91.5 FM WMIE. Hope you're planning on having a great day. We are at Merritt Assembly of God this week. I'll be returning back from vacation tonight, so I'm kind of excited about the time that I've had to spend with my parents celebrating their anniversary. And actually getting to spend a Father's Day with my dad. So that's been exciting. Want to let you know, we do not have a vintage service tomorrow. We do not have a vintage service tomorrow night. We've got some things going on this week and on Wednesday especially. And so we have suspended our midweek activities while we make some improvements. We are constantly moving forward. So through the years, you know, I've been there 22 and a half years at Merritt Assembly of God, pastoring the church. And through the years, we've made improvements every year. We, like I've told you before, we don't have any debt. We like it that way. And so we save the money. And then whenever we have funds, then we go ahead and proceed and go ahead and make the improvements that are necessary. So that's what's going on this week. And so hopefully we'll be able to see you Sunday. If you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come out and be a part of ours. This coming Saturday night, we have our men's celebration. Like I said, I was away for Father's Day. And so we're moving our men's banquet to this coming Saturday and going to just be having a great time of fellowship. The ladies will probably be there and helping to serve and all of that. So that's coming up, but we would love to have you in church with us Sunday morning. We have Sunday school at 9:30. We have a kids class. We have an adult class. And then Sunday morning at 10:30 is our worship service. And then we will also have service this coming Sunday night at 6:30. Hopefully you can come out and join us, be a part of that. Do want to tell you, if you need any block or concrete work done, you can call Greg at Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804, and they can help get you fixed up. So that's something that you want to leave to the professionals. I know I've tried to do some of it in the past, and that is just it's just not an easy thing to do. So you want to do it. You want to get it done right. Get it done right the first time so you don't have to come back and revisit it. So call Greg at 536-5804. Tell him you heard about them on the Refresh radio broadcast. So want to take you into the Word today. We were in Acts chapter 11 yesterday. Acts chapter 11. So that's where I'm going to take you back to today. We have been talking about the disagreement that had taken place amongst the believers about Peter's actions in interacting with Cornelius. We're going to pick that up again on tomorrow's broadcast because, believe it or not, that story's not done yet. That story's not done yet. I told you that was a transformative event for Cornelius. It was an eye-opening event for Peter, but it was a growing experience for the church. And so when we were on yesterday's broadcast, we talked about people who actually branched out and started preaching the good news of Jesus Christ to people who did not have the same background that they've got. You know, I believe that we understand God's grace more as we begin to know one another and know the background of where God has brought us from. You see, grace is not only where God is taking us to, it is where he has brought us from. I am so thankful that there are people in our church that they didn't grow up in the church. I happened to grow up in the church. I was not always as committed as what I should have been. I wasn't always as active as I should have been. But in fact, when I was in college, I was attending a junior college. I had a professor who who was teaching at this junior college at night, who had been at the same university that I had been attending in previous years. She was a professor there. And so she was teaching this class, a sociology class, and she was teaching it from a Christian perspective. She was a Christian, had to be a Christian to be a part of that university's teaching staff, sign a statement of faith and all of that. But when it came to this sociology class, she said that the only way that you ever would have belonged to a church is if you had grown up in that environment. And I was kind of a soft-spoken individual, but when it came to that, when it came to that statement, I just had to voice up and say, you know, I don't believe that. I don't believe that the grace of God just keeps me in the same place that I was. I believe that the grace of God is sufficient to take me from the pig pen, or from drug addiction, or from alcoholism, or from sexual abuse, and bring me to a redemptive place in the kingdom of God. If I did not believe that, I would be wasting your time listening and my time speaking here today. But instead, I tell you that the grace of God, it brought you from where you were. I've got friends that were brought out of backslidden conditions. They were literally brought back from the dead. Very thankful for that, dear brothers in Christ. I'm so thankful. I know people who were involved in the drug scene when I was growing up. I know a number of people who have been involved in drugs and they've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I also know some people who were involved in the drug scene and they did not have a very long life in order to be able to make that decision to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. So if we begin to fellowship and discuss with one another, then we understand that God's arm of grace can reach us wherever we are at, and that should build our faith up. That should build our faith up. So let me take you to Acts chapter 11, verse number 22, and it says, "Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the church. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians and in Antioch. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch." Okay, I'm just gonna stop the reading right there. So all of a sudden, Jerusalem hears about this move of God that is taking place in Antioch, and they send Barnabas. Barnabas is one of my favorite people. He's an encourager. I've done a teaching on that he was constantly encouraging other people, and he had a great reputation. Listen to some of the things that they say about him. He was a good man. He was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was full of faith. And it also says in there that he was a person that was glad, and he was an encourager. I believe that you and I should be going around, and that the joy of the Lord should be made manifest, and the things that cause us to celebrate are the things of God. I love sports, as you know. I can't say as much as the next guy, because there are some people that are just completely way over the top of it. I'm a Green Bay Packers fan. Green Bay has won the Super Bowl. Green Bay's lost the Super Bowl. Green Bay has made the playoffs. Green Bay's not made the playoffs. The same is true with the team that I root for in college football, University of Oklahoma. They won the national championship. They've lost it. They've won bowl games. They've lost them. I've been on the highs and lows. And the reality is none of those things ever changed my eternal destiny. They didn't make me richer. They didn't make me poor. They just had a blip on the radar screen effect of me. But there are some people who get so wound up in these things that they can't enjoy the moment because their identity is tied in with that particular sporting event. I recognize that my joy, my source of happiness, it comes from my relationship with the Lord. I want the joy of the Lord to be my strength. So when Barnabas comes and he has seen evidence, and that's what we talked about yesterday, that the grace of God will produce evidence that other people can see. Now, I tell you the people who will proclaim things like this, well, who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? And I'm telling you, all we are people who recognize the unmerited favor of God that is on display in people's lives. That's all I do. It doesn't matter to me the name over the door. If you are a believer, I listen, I've got some people that when I see them, it puts a smile on my face. They don't attend my church. They don't even attend the same denomination. It doesn't matter. They attend a different church. They love Jesus. And when I see them, I am happy to know that they are part of the body of Christ because they are actively serving the King in this community with me. It brings me great joy. So the grace of God should be evidence. Grace without evidence, like I said on yesterday's program, is counterfeit. Whatever God creates as an authentic, the devil will produce as a counterfeit. He will try and mimic it. Now, that just because there's a counterfeit does not mean that there is not a legitimate, genuine item known as the grace of God. The genuine produces a transformed life that other people will notice, not that you will have to try and convince them of. Okay? I believe that's very important. And so when Barnabas sees the grace of God in operation in the people of Antioch, the new believers in Antioch, he begins to rejoice because now the gospel is reaching into an entirely new dimension. It is moving beyond just Cornelius. Now it is starting to move beyond individuals into entire communities, not just Jewish communities, but even into Greek communities as well. We rejoice. I've told you before, we support like 59 missionaries at Merit Assembly of God. We support more missionaries on a monthly basis than we have average in attendance on Sunday morning. I've told you, I'm not blowing smoke. We're not one of the largest churches in town. Currently, we average about 52 in attendance on a Sunday morning. We've got like 120 some different people that come, but only about 50 of them make it there on average every week. And so whenever I see the grace of God in operation in people's lives, it causes us to rejoice. And so Barnabas was glad. And here's what I want you to see. That grace that Barnabas recognized was not a final act, but instead it was a launching pad. It was the starting line, and Barnabas recognized that what they needed was they needed an encourager. And Barnabas was not even his original name. That was a name that the disciples had given to him because they recognized that he was a son of encouragement. So that they actually, I'm trying to find real quick here, but I'm not seeing where I'm looking for. But they were the ones who actually started. It's in Acts chapter 4, and it said, "And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles," which is translated "son of encouragement," and so he whose name was Joseph, or Joseph, originally, And the disciples said, no, you are so good at encouraging that we're going to now call you Barnabas. And so when there was a move of God that was taking place, they didn't send a discourager. They sent an encourager. They sent somebody who was a good man, who was full of faith, who was full of the Holy Spirit, and they sent him to encourage these new believers in their lifestyle. And like I say, salvation, well, that wasn't the end of the project. That was the beginning project. Look, when you say a prayer, you are saved. As long as you are living, Jesus is still saving you. He's still working on you. When he comes again, that is the ultimate manifestation of salvation. And so I just want you to know that that grace of God should constantly be gaining ground on the enemy's territory. The grace of God ought to be expelling demonic powers and demonic thoughts and demonic mindsets and demonic habits out of your life, and ought to be replacing there. When that void is created, it will be filled with something that is straight from the Father's heart. It'll be that bad stuff will be replaced with very holy and pleasing stuff. So look at what Barnabas says. And he encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. So I want you to know that growing in your faith is not going to happen accidentally, but there needs to be something that takes place in your heart that says, I am committed to this. My wife and I just celebrated our 30th anniversary. The reason that we celebrated that 30th anniversary is because we were committed to that with purpose of heart. We're going to continue to pursue that relationship, that marital. We are growing in our relationship with one another. My parents, you know, just hit their 55th anniversary. And believe me, that did not come without having some intentionality behind it. So I want to encourage you to be intentional in your relationship with Jesus and be in a growing relationship, okay? You could be in one of the finest churches here in Brevard County. You could have one of the most phenomenal pastors in the county who preaches the best sermons in the county. And there could be a person sitting in the congregation growing and the person sitting right next to them not growing. In fact, I believe this. Growing in your relationship with God is not just going to take place during the pastor's preaching, but it will take place in your Sunday school or your small groups, in your men's meetings, your women's meetings. I believe that that is really where the core of growing takes place. If you want to know where else it grows in the prayer closet. When you get together, it is a great sad, it's with great sadness that I inform you that some of the least attended meetings in churches across the county are the prayer meetings. You and I, we should be coming together because it says here in this verse, it says, and he encouraged them with all purpose of heart that they should continue with the Lord. Not just continue in relationships with other people in the body of Christ, but in that relationship, that abiding that Jesus talked about. And the best way to do that is by being a student of the Word of God and with prayer. That is how we stay connected to Him. It also helps that we stay connected with the body of Christ. It says that as He encouraged them, listen, if somebody encourages you to do something and they aren't doing it themselves, you lose credibility. You lose credibility. And so what the man that was encouraging them was Barnabas, and he was known to be a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Now, here's what's going to happen when you and I are encouraged to continue with the Lord. Are you ready? And a great many people were added to the Lord. what started as a revival that got the attention of the leadership in Jerusalem so that Barnabas came there. What happened was when Barnabas encouraged them to continue in the Lord, the kingdom grew even more. And so thank God for what's taking place. But the reason that we need people to encourage one another and provoke one another to good works, the reason that we need to continue in the grace and produce the evidence of the grace, is so that even more people can benefit from the grace of God. And so that's what began to take place. You know what happened? That was in verse number 24. In 25, Barnabas has a recognition, and he says this, I need some help. I need some help. There are no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. You were designed to be part of the body of Christ. And so what we have done at Merit Assembly of God is we try and get more and more people involved in the process. And I'm so thankful for that is beginning to take place. There are things that I used to have to do that I'm not having to do any longer. That doesn't mean that I'm doing less. It means I'm doing different. You know, I like to work myself out of jobs. I like to have somebody trained up and raised up, and you know what? They can do it better than I can. So Barnabas says, I can't do this job by myself. I need some help. And you know who he goes and finds? He goes and finds a young man by the name of Saul, who used to be a persecutor of the church, but now had become part of the body of Christ. And he had been sitting and growing and maturing in his walk with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. Thank God that he did, because he was getting ready to be one of the most influential people that ever impacted the kingdom of God. He ended up being very instrumental in the gospel breaking into new regions. He was very instrumental in the scriptures that you have in your hands. And the reason that he was so effective is because Barnabas believed in him. Barnabas believed in him. And while he was sitting on the sidelines, he wasn't just sitting there twiddling his thumbs. He was continuing in his development and his maturity with the Lord. Thank God for Saul. But I don't believe Saul would have ever reached the point that he did in his effectiveness if it hadn't been for Barnabas. So Barnabas seeks him out. He finds him, and he brings him to Antioch, and they spend a whole year, and it says they taught a great many people. They taught a great many people. If saying a prayer is all we've got to do, if there is no learning, if there's no continuing, if there's no development in the process, then what are we doing? What are we doing? We're just going through the motions. And yet there are so many people who don't think that they need. I literally have had people tell me, I don't need anybody to teach me anything else. And you know what happened when I heard that? When a person said, I don't need you to teach me anything else, it's like, well, this relationship is getting ready to come to an abrupt halt. You know why? Because I'm still learning. I'm still pressing on. I'm still growing. I'm still looking to surround myself with people smarter than me. And, you know, whether you're younger, older, it doesn't matter. There's still something new to learn. I may have told you on this broadcast before, the highest office in the Assemblies of God is called the General Superintendent of the Assemblies of God. When I was in Bible college, there was a General Superintendent. He was in one of the retirement homes. He was 92 years of age, and the president of the Bible college, his wife would go visit him in the retirement home. And she said, every time I went in there, he was sitting there with his Bible open with a yellow legal pad sitting beside him. And he was taking notes as he was still learning at 92. Be a lifelong learner. Surround yourself with people who can teach you things that you don't know. It will make you a better you. And you know what? That information isn't supposed to end with you. It's supposed to be passed on to another one. You see, a disciple is someone who learns from the master so that they can teach someone else the things that they've learned. So they teach a great many people. Here's what I want to close with on today's broadcast. Because of what happened with Cornelius and Peter that caused people to go to Antioch and start preaching the gospel to people who would have never heard it, the church hears about it. They send Barnabas. Barnabas sees the evidence of the grace of God, encourages them to continue with the Lord, recognizes that because there are so many people being added that he needs somebody to help him to come in and teach these people how to walk with the Lord. He goes off and he finds Saul. They spend an entire year teaching. And many of these times it would be every day that they would be meeting with somebody every day, teaching them how to thrive in their relationship with God. What took place in Antioch became so impactful on the community that the community gave them a new name. They did not give them a name because of what they had in their head. They did not give them a new name because of what they had in their heart. They gave them this new name because of the life that they led. And it says in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Listen, if I have to tell you I'm a Christian because you can't recognize the evidence of the grace of God, then I really need to grow in my relationship with God. If I'm not learning and developing and I don't surround myself with people who can teach me things and I'm not teaching other people things, then and I have to put the label over my head and say, look at me, I'm a Christian, then there's something wrong. But when our heart is connected with the Lord and we are surrounded with believers and we have found our purpose and the kingdom of God is growing and it is touching our community to such extent that our community says, wait a minute, you've been with Jesus, haven't you? That's the type of community that I want Brevard County to be. Let's touch Brevard County with the truth of the gospel, not just with word, but in deed and in lifestyle, so that people recognize that we truly are Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. Father, may others around us see the evidence of the grace of God. May they recognize us as having spent time with our King, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.